Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
You might have spotted Census 1926 was released over the weekend, but where do you start if you're trying to find family members? Eileen Murphy, who's the head of Census Administration and Digital Transformation, is with me here on the programme today. Eileen, thanks a million for joining us. What else can the census tell us, first of all? What else can it tell us?
So I suppose the really important thing about this census is that it's the first census of the Irish state. So people will be aware of the 1901 and 1911 census that have been around for a while. They were taken under the British administration. Then obviously we had the Easter Rising, we had World War One, we had flu epidemics, we had Civil War. So there was no census taken until 1926, and it was one of the first things that the new government did, was that said, you know, we need to take a record of the state. And census records are guaranteed confidential for 100 years. That was why on the 18th of April 2026, 100 years to the day after it was taken on the 18th of April 1926, the National Archives released those records. And it was a huge task to digitize over 700,000 household returns, recording nearly 3 million people.
Can you give us a snapshot of what we've learned now looking back 100 years on?
Yeah, so the population at the time was 2.97 million. That's a decline of 5% from the 1911 population, which was 3.1 million. But actually, that reflects a decline that had been happening since the famine. So we recorded, we have over 200 years of census records. And in 1841, there were 6.5 million people. After the famine in 1851, that had gone down to just over 5 million. And it kept going down all the way to the 1960s. 1961 census recorded 2.8 million. And it's only since then that we turned the corner. And it's gone up 73% since 1961. And in 2022, in the census then, we had 5.15 million. So that was the first time in 170 years in a census that we'd recorded over 5 million people.
What does it tell us about the people who were living here at the time?
Well, life expectancy at the time was a lot shorter than it is now. So a man was expected to live for about 57 years and a woman for 58 years. And now by 2022, that has increased to 81 years for men and 84 years for women. So that's a huge increase. Awesome. But it was a very young population then as well, whereas now we're a much older population. So 3% of the population were over 75 in 1926. And now over 7% of the population. We've also become, you know, a big move from rural to urban. So urbanisation has been a big thing. Dublin was about 17% of the population in 1926. And by 2022, that had risen to 28%. And on the flip side, then sort of populations in Leitrim and Mayo and Roscommon saw double digit declines. And I suppose that reflects as well the working population. There was agriculture made up like over half of people worked in agriculture in 1926. And by 2022, that had fallen to nearly to 4% like of those at work. Like that's huge changes. And I suppose the manual and hard labour of that time probably reflected the fact that of the 1.3 million at work in 1926, 74% were male and 26% female, whereas we've 2.3 million at work in 2022, but that's much more evenly split because we're seeing a lot of move to more service industry and it's 53% male, 47% female.
What about the birth rate in 1926, Eileen?
Yeah, so that's nearly halved. So in 1926, there was about 20 births per thousand of population, and that halved to only 10 per thousand of population by 2022.
And I suppose the big thing maybe for people listening today, and I might come to some of the listener texts in a moment, but if people want to look back and find out a little bit more about their own family history dating back to 1926, how easy is it to do that now?
Yes, so the National Archives have a great website, nationalarchives.ie, And there's a button sort of near the top saying search the 1926 census, because that's what most people are doing. Apparently they've had 20 million hits since it went live on Friday night. And there are other links to the 1901 and 1911 as well, if you want to look across the three. But when you go into the 1926, then there's a map. You can do it by map, or you can do it by putting the information of your family members in. So the more information you have, the more details you can get. Obviously, if you've an unusual name, if you don't have too much information, you'll probably still be able to work through it. But if you have a really popular name, you might need a bit more information to whittle it down. And then when you get to the person that you think is the person of your family, if you click then on the household form, that's where you see the actual digitized form. So a photo of the form with the handwriting of who was in the house on the night, what their relationship was to each other, their ages, occupations. It's amazing to look at that handwriting.
The text from listener wondering, I live in an old cottage, Eileen. Is it possible for me to find out who exactly lived there back in 1926? Probably is.
Well, there's information on the townland. So where you see household forms, there's also townland forms of the returns of the enumerator of all the buildings in a particular area. So there is information on the houses in a town, and who lived there. What was released on Saturday is sort of phase one. So as you can imagine, it's a huge undertaking. Mm. And the main thing was to get the people there for the 18th of April. But they do want to do searches by the occupations and industries and religion and the other topics. But they're a bit more complex to code and make sure they're right. So they'll be doing that on a phased basis over the next few months.
Anya in Dublin's wondering, what should people do, Eileen, if a name has been misspelt? So for instance, a D has been read as an A, thanks to the National Archive though for the great work. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so obviously with a data set of that size of 3 million records, there are a few that are missing that didn't make it, and there obviously are a few transcription errors. So I think probably not this week because everything is a bit manic, but they will be accepting information from people of changes, but they're also doing continuous quality checking themselves, and they will probably pick up some themselves. But if you're really aware of something, I'm sure there'll be a mechanism to let them know in due course.
Yeah, to report it. How were literacy rates back in 1926? Like, would somebody have been able to assist people in filling out the forms?
So that's the thing about the form. So some people are saying, isn't the handwriting amazing? But you will see on some of the forms that people weren't able to read or write. So in that case, the enumerator would probably have filled in the form for them. Whereas now, we would all expect everybody to be able to do that. I think that also reflected on the Irish forms, because only 1% of the forms were filled in Irish, even though 18% of the population said that they spoke Irish, and that was as a native language. But a lot of those native speakers maybe wouldn't write, they would only speak it. And therefore, a lot of them, only 5,000 forms were filled in Irish, because the enumerator filled it in English and said the household is fully Irish.
Fully Irish speaking, yeah. Okay. Yeah. What detail most surprised you most, Eileen?
Well, I love some of the occupations. So like some of the jobs there that, aren't really there now. So there was nearly 11,000 horse vehicle drivers. And, that's not something that we see much of today. 1,400 saddlers. Over 1,000 coopers, those cask and barrel makers for Guinnesses and the breweries, and 211 chimney sweepers, right, one of which was female.
Okay. In 1926.
Yeah. And then sort of on the other hand, those, like, they wouldn't understand some of the jobs of today, like IT and finance. So like there's nearly 33,000 software developers. They'd be going, well, what's a software developer?
What does that do? Was there any discovery that, really kind of stopped you in your tracks, or that people are maybe most surprised by?
Well, I'm an accountant by qualification. So in 1926, there was 382 chartered accountants, whereas in 2022, there was over 43,000 chartered and certified accountants.
Yeah, as part of the general makeup. In terms of the new or the added in questions, there's always new additions, isn't there, to each census, Eileen?
Yeah, so a census always has to reflect the society that it's taken in. And every time we do a census, we go out with a public consultation to ask people what questions they want in the census. And as laws and legislation of the country change over time, that changes things. We have certain questions we have to take under EU regulation, etc. So we're actually getting ready right now for the census in 2027, next year. And for the first time, it is going to be online.
So there'll be no filling out the form on the night in question. You'll just do it in digital.
There still will be a form if you want it, but so it'll be whichever you want to do. Lots of people asked us why we didn't have an online option, and so we've spent a lot of time since the last census getting an online option ready for people. So you will have the choice next year as to whether you want to do it online or on paper.
That'll be a big shift,
and it'll be over. We're looking at the usually resident population. So again, up till now, we've kind of taken on the night where everyone was. So therefore, we had to track people if they were on holidays or in hotels, etc. Whereas now, you'll fill it in for where you usually live. So there'll be a window to fill it in, sort of from a 5-week window to fill it in.
Does that not kind of alter then the data from the previous census you have if we're changing those kind of maybe more fundamental questions?
So we captured both in previous census. So I don't know if you remember your 2022 form, but we did ask, where you usually live. So we would have always done that as part of our data capture we do a count on the night of where people were, but we'd also do a usually resident count because that was one of the things that we have to send to the EU. So we always had both.
People wondering, so it's through the National Archive, is that right? That's where you can kind of find, if people want to sit down now and look at the family history, that's where they go to find out about the census 1926.
And if they're interested in 27, they can go to census.ie. So the website has just gone live for 2027 and it's telling you a little bit about what's going to be coming next year. And we're actually starting recruitment for the senior managers for some of our field roles. It's opening this Wednesday and that information is there as well. If you remember, we will still be having further recruitment in September and November. So go to census.ie and you can find out about what's coming on that.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be plenty more discussion around that as well. This texter, Eileen, tells us that they've discovered that their granny had a sibling that we never knew about. Apparently they emigrated and they never spoke to them or ever heard from them again. And another listener's got in touch to say, I've just learned that my granddad had a brother. When I asked my dad about it, it turns out that he actually had two brothers. Both died very young. I always thought that it was only my granddad and his sister. And finally, Maria has got in contact to say, regarding the 1926 census, it's really fascinating, but it's also actually quite sad as well. I saw one of my granduncles described as an idiot, whatever that meant, says Maria. Eileen Murphy, Head of Census Administration and Digital Transformation. Thanks a million, Eileen, for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today. If you want to get in touch with us, the email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday. On News Talk. Conversation that counts.